Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hey, here we go. All right. All sitting there? What? Wait a minute. Oh, my goodness. What do you have? You have the Impossible Burger. Reggie, did you see that, guys? Reggie, you are not eating your usual submarine sandwich. Wow, you've gone for the Impossible Burger from Burger King. That's made of plants. Any good? Eh, you still... He's mouthing. What is... Oh, jury's still out. Okay. But so far, at least it's edible, right? Well, good for you. Look at you, Mr. Environmental. I've wanted to taste one of those. Is it worth... Yeah? Is it worth at least trying, right? Okay. Well, good for you. We'll see next time if you get another Impossible Burger or you're back to your submarine sandwiches. Put you know what's the impossible, you know what's the Impossible Burger for me? You're the Impossible Burger. Put it down and let's do your job. Okay, good. Thumbs up. Yes. Okay, everything's fine. The levels are good. Okay, now go back and eat. Okay, here we go. Talent is ready as usual. Write it down in the books, episode 175. So let's get started here. Ready? Let's try the impossible dream. What do you say, Reggie? Huh? Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Oh, wait. Reginald, you're supposed to tell me. Star, smile, strong. The three S's. Then we do the countdown. Oh, you are clearly distracted with your impossible burger. You are impossible today. Okay, star, smile, strong. And now, 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. Hey, it's Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Posted every Monday for your podcasting binge-worthy pleasure. Posted on WGNplus.com and anywhere where you find your podcast. Whatever platform you find it on. Go there, subscribe, rate this podcast, and don't forget to tell your friend. But if you do go to WGNplus.com, don't forget as well that there is a landing page on that website where you can find all previous Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic podcasts. All previous 174, which can only mean one thing if you do the math correctly. And please show all work. That's right. This is episode 175. The only podcast on the internet with the Good Housekeeping seal of podcast approval. And if that exists, I think we would get it. Welcome to episode 175. And as I said, don't forget, if you like what you hear every week here, tell your friends. If you're new to the game, welcome aboard. If you are a long-time listener, thank you for the downloadings and this and the clickings and the scrollings, whatever it is you do to find us on a regular basis. Your loyalty is much appreciated. I often have told you and shared with you some of my travel adventures, Toronto's travels, if you will. My wife and I enjoy traveling. I always have from a young child. Always went on very interesting, fun, and at times, or for the time, I guess, perhaps, kind of exotic vacations. I think I was 7 or 8, and we went to Hawaii. Right during the whole Hawaii 5-0, the original one, in the early 70s, the whole Hawaii 5-0 trend. And we actually stayed at the hotel that was in the opening sequence on the show, which I understand. I have not been back to Hawaii since then, so it has been more than 40 years. And I'm told that that hotel, which was called the Ilikai, is now condos. But if you ever watch any old reruns of Hawaii Five-0 with Jack Lord, you'll see this this interestingly designed building, which kind of has four, I can't even explain what, it's like spokes, four spokes, if you will. And that was a hotel that we stayed in, and that was a very popular hotel at the time. Now it's condos, which makes sense. It's kind of a cool building. It's kind of like the Aqua Building downtown in Chicago for its unique design. But so I love traveling, and my wife and I especially have really seen some of the great places in this country and around the world, and hopefully that will continue to be a major part of our lives. But I do love to share some of my adventures, especially when some fun and interesting and odd things happen. And interesting, fun, and odd, I believe, are perfect adjectives for a place that we recently visited about a month or so ago. Or was it this month? But, you know, yes, I've been to some of the world's greatest cities, you know. Rome and London and Greece and Paris and Florence and Sydney. I've been fortunate. Barcelona, Madrid, St. Petersburg in Russia, Stockholm, Copenhagen, Prague, as well as here in the United States, you know, L.A., New York, Las Vegas, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., you name it. And it's been fun. And so, yes, there's been some amazingly elegant and glamorous cities. But if you know anything about an Elton Jim, if you've been listening to me with any kind of regularity, you know that I also like a little of the offbeat sometimes, a little of the kitsch. I love some of the things that are so bad they're good, if you know what I mean. Sometimes it's good to just go for the corny stuff, not always the cool stuff, because there's hints of cool within the corny stuff, within the kitschy stuff, which makes it kitsch. I mean, that's what Las Vegas is built upon. Las Vegas has its glamour, but if you walk down that strip and just take a step back, it is filled with kitsch. It's filled with, a fake a fake Eiffel Tower on one side of the street, and a fake Statue of Liberty on the other, and a fake volcano and dancing waters, and fake Venetian canals. So it's filled with kitsch, even though there's a glamour to it. Las Vegas really combines both. And that's why what I really do like about Vegas is the kitsch. There's no question that there's some glamorous things in Vegas. For high rollers, there's some great restaurants and some elegant areas within the hotels to give you that experience. But when you go out on the strip these days, and there was a certain amount of elegance to Las Vegas, it wasn't all kitschy. It wasn't always kitschy. There was an element when it first came about, going back to Bugsy Siegel, when he first opened the Flamingo. That was the whole idea, to create an elegant and cool, hip place to go in the middle of the desert to gamble and just have a little fun. Over the years, to expand the audience, to expand the types of people in the tourist trade, other types of things were added to Las Vegas. And slowly but surely, you look down the strip today and you see a hodgepodge of everything. The ultimate in glamour and high roller elegance, as well as the most absurd and outrageously gaudy stuff you'll ever see as well. And somehow, it all works. It's somehow in Vegas, it all works. And if you've been to Vegas, you know exactly what I mean. Somehow, it all works. And so, there's another city, much smaller, much less glamorous, but another city in the United States that is aiming for that same mix of kitsch and cool on a much lower level, but it's the spirit of it that counts, the thought that counts. And so, yes, well, I've traveled to all these different places around the world and have, you know, tried to absorb all these different cultures and all these different sites and things like that. There is a part of me that also enjoys to see the absurd and the odd, and I relish that as well. And I've always tried to keep an open mind to all that type of stuff. And in the back of my mind, I've read so much about it. In the back of my mind, I always said, you know what would be cool? No, this would not be the most glamorous vacation on earth, but I think it would be the most, it would be certainly worth the time and certainly pique my interest. And that would be to go to, drumroll, Branson, Missouri. In the heart of the beautiful Ozark Mountains, Branson, Missouri. I would say 20, 25 years ago or so, maybe even longer than that now, this small little town decided, for whatever reason, and I'm not sure how it really started, but kudos to the town fathers and mothers, but they decided to up their tourist ante, if you will. The Ozark Mountains are a tourist attraction for people. A lot of caves in the Ozarks, and that's kind of, you know, a lot of family vacation kind of things. And so Branson decided to take advantage of the regular tourism that they got, but then at the same time, I guess in Missouri, but Branson specifically, just said, well, wait a minute, maybe we can offer just a little bit more. And so Branson started to become a destination for entertainment and families. Not as big, not as gaudy, not as glitzy, not as, in quotes, high class or elegant as Las Vegas, but certainly taking the cue from Las Vegas of combining attractions of entertainment to draw people there that people would want to see, and then having added attractions and restaurants for them to do while they're there seeing these attractions. And then just like Vegas, especially about 20, 25 years ago, then also realizing, wait a minute, are we cutting off a big chunk of our possible tourism by just being attractive to adults in terms of entertainment? And so maybe we should open up some kid-friendly places. You remember 20 years or so ago, Las Vegas went for that, and suddenly there were roller coasters in Las Vegas and more of a family-oriented kind of mood. I don't know how successful that was. There are still remnants of it. There still is the roller coaster at the New York Hotel. Certainly families flock to see the dancing fountains at the Bellagio and see the explosions of the volcano at the Mirage. But some of that stuff has also gone away. There were a lot more family fair that has gone away, and now it's somewhere in the middle. It's more, not so much little kids, but certainly younger people. Vegas used to be a town for, you know, people in their 40s and 50s, and now it's certainly a place for people in their 20s and 30s. So there's malls, and they're still glitzy places, and there's certainly, there's something for everybody there now. And Branson said, I must have said, well, look, why can't we already have a regular tourism trade here, so maybe we can spice it up. And I don't know if they reached out to people, how it worked, but some entertainers that had a long time reputation, they certainly were going for an older crowd, because I think those are the kind of people that would take trips to Missouri to go see these things, or maybe with the surrounding areas there. But however it happened, or whatever the blueprint was, or whatever the impetus was, I would say about 20 to 25 years ago, maybe even longer, suddenly you found theaters popping up in Branson, Missouri, and you saw some semi-popular, formerly very popular entertainers that maybe were now a little older, still had some cachet of their names. They weren't able to fill the Las Vegas showrooms and hotels anymore, like at one time they were. But they still had a strong enough name that if you were looking for a little getaway that was a little cheaper than Vegas, which was also a key, but still seeing some quality entertainment by people that were still pros, they just may have fallen out of the of the zeitgeist of their popularity, but they were still solid entertainers. And so people like Andy Williams was a pioneer there of opening his own theater, performing there for most of the year, and while he was off then, would bring in people of note that, once again, may have been more popular in the 60s and 70s, and would be appealing to older crowds. And then they started to bus people in from the surrounding areas, and they created a strip. The road is 76, and that's considered the Branson Strip, just like, the strip in Las Vegas. And it's certainly less populated with giant skyscraper hotels. And as I said before, with recreations of the Eiffel Tower or the Statue of Liberty. But in its own way, Branson does have that. They've got other things. They've got roller coasters. They've got water slides. They've got a series of different theaters to see different kinds of shows, and either franchise restaurants or standalone kind of places that are unique to the town. They've got their own little downtown area, just like Las Vegas has. There's a downtown area to Branson as well, and there is the strip area where there's more of the attraction type of things. But so in the back of my mind, Branson, you have to go, Branson, what are you talking about? Why would you want to go to Branson? But just the fact of its kitschy kind of style that you would be seeing maybe B, C, or maybe what would be considered D-list celebrities, but they were also at one time very popular entertainers. So they're not really they're D-list or C-list now, but at one time they were A-list. Andy Williams, for example, was one of the most popular singers of the day in the 50s and 60s. He had the hit with Moon River, he also had a big hit with the theme from Love Story in the early 70s, and his TV show in the 60s and 70s was the popular variety show of the day. He basically discovered the Osmond Brothers. Andy Williams was a big deal. Don't you listen to Andy Williams at the holidays? It's the most wonderful time of the year. That's Andy Williams. So I've always heard about Branson for its kitschy appeal. And so in the back of my mind, we always plan these sometimes weekend getaways in addition to some big trips. And in the back of my mind, I've always been like, it would be fun to go to Branson and just to see it and see what it's all about. And I noticed a couple of, about, for the last 5 years, I've been talking about this. Half joking, half not. And then I realized the king of kitsch, if you will, Lawrence Welk, and for some people may need to Google that, but for people who know who Lawrence Welk is, one of the most popular band leaders of the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s on television. Yes, it was cornball entertainment, but it was also middle America entertainment. Lawrence Welk, a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. A one, a two, and a three. And here is a Myron Florin on the accordion. You had to love Lawrence. Well, I found out that Lawrence made a heck of a lot of money during his day. As I said, he was one of the most popular TV entities. He was on TV for 50 or 60 years, or it's been 60 years. He was on early on in television. And his show, as I said, was at least three or four decades on almost every week. To the bafflement of anybody in television, they couldn't understand why is anybody going to watch, you know, a show of band of a big band playing, you know, this cornball music and people dancing during it, especially during the hipsters 50s and 60s. Big band music is supposedly was dead, but somehow Lawrence Welk found his niche and people loved it until up to a point. And if you look on some of the PBS stations, they still rerun the Lawrence Welk shows. Every so often, I'll be clicking around the dial and I'll see a Lawrence Welk and I'll just put it on for the hell of it. It's such a great time capsule. And it was so unique because in the midst of, especially in the 60s and 70s, in the midst of the Vietnam War and all the turbulence of the 60s and the cultural wars between the old and the new and Vietnam, and in the 70s, the coolness and the hipsterish and the political turmoil of Watergate and inflation and Vietnam still until the mid-70s, Lawrence still was offering this same, you know, kind of all-American apple pie, Mayberry USA kind of entertainment. And there was a certain amount, a good amount of people that watched it and enjoyed it. So from a time capsule, it's really funny just to see what was going on during those eras. So sometimes I'll even watch a Lawrence Welk show. He was the king of the bubble machine. That was his. That little sound was his trademark. It'd be like Lawrence Welk. Well, I happened to see a commercial or something and saw that Lawrence Welk, he made a good buck in this business, and he was a savvy businessman in addition. So you could say, oh, how corny he was, but he was a savvy businessman. He made a ton of money and he invested it well and was one of the most richest people in show business. And one of the things he did wisely was buy up a lot of land and he opened up hotels. And I wasn't even aware of this until about 5 years ago. I saw a commercial for the Welk Resorts. And sure enough, Lawrence has resorts. I mean, he's dead now. His son probably runs. I don't even know if his son is still alive. But there are Welk Resorts, which are, I think, both timeshares as well as, hotels to stay in. You know, in Colorado, in touristy places in Palm Springs. And guess where there was one? Guess where there is one, too? You know it. Lawrence knew where his audience would go on vacation. He knew the cachet of his name and who it would appeal to. Those older folks who enjoyed all of his shows for so many years, hey, they're still around and they've got money to spend. They saved their money. Why should they go to Las Vegas? Let them come to Branson. Let them see Andy Williams. Let them see Yakov Smirnoff in my country. Let them see Bobby Vinton. right? Those kinds of people. Let them see Don Rickles. Let them see Norm Crosby. Yeah, these weren't the A-listers anymore, but they were pros in their day, and they were popular in their day, and they still had people that recognized them and would be willing to come and see them again for a much lower price than a Vegas show. Vegas shows are $200, $300, $400, $500. You can go to Branson even today and get see a show for $30, $40. That's unheard of. Is it going to be a Vegas show? No. But as I said, that's the cool part of it. It's just a little off from Vegas. It's just, it's trying to be Vegas, but on a budget. That's, I guess, if Branson had a slogan, it would be Vegas on a budget. I guess the best way to explain it is, have you ever seen Patrick Swayze's brother? Have you ever seen Patrick Swayze's brother? Patrick Swayze, right, passed away, sadly, but, you know, one of the great sex symbols of the 80s, Dirty Dancing, right? Good-looking guy, sexy guy. And he has a brother who was also an actor, obviously coming after him and you know, taking advantage of the Swayze name. But if you've ever seen Patrick Swayze's brother, you realize that he resembles Patrick Swayze. But it's just a little off. He's not Patrick Swayze. He resembles him, but he didn't have, you know, the same genes were there, but the way they were mixed up in that little pool of genetic goo, Patrick got the better ones. Those same genes are there in his brother, but just a little off. And if you want to, I would urge you, go and Google Patrick Swayze and then Google his brother. I can't remember his first name, but put Patrick Swayze's brother. It'll pop up and put, you know, pictures of or images of Patrick Swayze's brother and sort of look at both of them. And you'll see he resembles Patrick Swayze, but he's just enough off not to be as handsome and charismatic as Patrick Swayze. And that's the way I would that's the way I would describe Branson in Vegas. Branson is Patrick Swayze's brother. It's close, but it's just not there. But there's still something to enjoy and appreciate. So I said, wow, I mean, if there's a Lawrence Welk resort in Branson, that's kitschy enough to go to a Lawrence Welk hotel. How cool is that in the quote with the air quotes around it? And then go to Branson and experience all that. I wonder who I could, what would be cool, once again, in quotes, what would be cool to see in Branson? Who would be cool in my mind? So I went online. Once I saw this Lawrence Welk Hotel thing, this really piqued my interest. So now this became a little more real to me. And it's not far from Chicago. It's less than an hour flight. You could drive it too, but I don't really like to drive that far. So it's like we can even do Branson in a day. We don't have to do, you know, a weekend there. We can do it in a day. We leave early in the morning. We spend all day and all evening and come back tomorrow. So relatively inexpensive and still be able to grasp what the Branson experience is all about, if there is such a thing. And there is such a thing. So once I have my Lawrence Welk resort, I got a place to stay. I'm going to stay at the place of Lawrence Welk. How cool is that? Yes, there are some, you know, everyday sights to see, like the Hollywood Wax Museum, the Shoney's, you know, could maybe see the giant roller coaster or go to Dick Clark's Bandstand Cafe or Dolly Parton's Stampede Rodeo Show. How do you beat that? They had this giant outside the Hollywood Wax Museum in Branson, right on the Strip, they have this huge recreation. That's why I said it's kind of like a mini Vegas. Like Vegas has the fake, Statue of Liberty and the fake Eiffel Tower. So the Branson Hollywood Wax Museum has this huge, right on the Strip, this huge recreation of Mount Rushmore, except the busts on that Mount Rushmore are of John Wayne. The people Google him, sadly, maybe. Elvis Presley, Marilyn Monroe, and a horrible likeness of supposedly Charlie Chaplin. It looks nothing like Charlie Chaplin. You can go on my Facebook page and scroll down because I've got pictures of it on there. Or just, once again, Google, Hollywood Wax Museum in Branson, and you'll see this Mount Rushmore. I don't know if anybody, of a certain age even knows who John Wayne is or Charlie Chaplin, sadly. But this Charlie Chaplin thing, he's on the far right. I thought it was Red Skelton, and there's another name to Google. That's what I'm talking about. This place is aimed at an older crowd. But so that's my point even about being just a little off. They've got this huge Mount Rushmore recreation right on the Strip, but it's just a little off, which is so great. And the Hollywood Wax Museum also has this semi-high skyscraper with a giant King Kong scaling it and lights shining on it. Oh, how do you beat that? It's got a Ripley's Believe It or Not. It's got exactly what you'd want it to have. As I said, it's Vegas on a budget. It's just a little lower. It's aimed at your middle class, mid-America kind of person that likes some good old-fashioned fun, good old-fashioned food. Oh, my gosh, there's the restaurants, a lot of chain restaurants, but at the same time, like I said, a place called Starvin' Marvin's. If you go to Branson, I'll just give you a clue here. Go to the downtown area. It's very small, but you'll find it. It's a place called the Farmhouse. There's two really good places that are old and classic diner cafe places that are a part of the Branson experience. That's what it's about. This is like going to Mayberry. So there's this kitschy appeal about it. So you got to go there with that in mind. There's a Five and Dime, Dick's Five and Dime, which my wife and I went to for a good reason. And it turned out, thank God, we stopped into Dick's Five and Dime when I tell you the other story. But there's two places. There's a Branson Cafe that make these amazing cinnamon rolls as well as some great comfort food. And then there's a place called the Farmhouse. Once again, amazing comfort food. The biggest biscuits I've ever seen in my life. Delicious. I had this chicken fried steak that was just swimming in one of those white gravies, with the thick white gravy with the pepper in it. Oh, I had chicken fried steak with mashed potatoes and green beans and this giant biscuit. Oh, I wanted to go to sleep, but I had to go see the show that I went there to see, which I'll tell you. But I have to say, at the Farmhouse, if you do go to Branson, if you're in it, if you're in the adventurous mood for something a little weird, a little kitschy, a little off the beaten path, a little silly and odd, you'll have fun there. Yes, it's corny. It's not first class stuff, but it's... I enjoyed walking around and soaking it all in for what it was. It's a very ironic place, but you can, if you go there with the right attitude, you'll find fun. You'll see the giant chicken, this 20-foot chicken outside of a chicken restaurant, dressed in a red, white, and blue vest. Only in Branson. There's a huge giant bust. It's got to be a 40-foot bust of Ronald Reagan in a parking lot somewhere. That's what I'm talking about. It's definitely off the beaten path. It's definitely small town America. It's definitely middle America. It's definitely kitsch, even though it maybe doesn't even know if it's kitsch. There's so many layers of stuff going on here. But if you're looking for something a little different and going off the beaten track, for me, I had a great day in Branson. But go to the farmhouse, because not only was the entree good, but I have to say, one of my favorite desserts of all time is any kind, well, not any kind, but I love a good cobbler. You know, a cobbler, you know, with the crumble and the fruit, and you get a little vanilla a la mode on top of that. Oh, it's almost like a pie, but that crumble on it gives it the different. I love a good cobbler. I'm a sucker for an apple cobbler, a cherry cobbler, or a blueberry cobbler. Those are my three cobbler fruits, if you will. I really can't even tell you which one I like better. I've always said that apple and cinnamon is perhaps one of the greatest combinations since chocolate and peanut butter and Abbott and Costello. But I'll tell you, if you can make a good blueberry cobbler or a good cherry cobbler, oh man. And I have to add, I now have to add a new one to my list, and this one now tops the list. And if I ever were to go back to Branson, I've seen it once, maybe that's all I have to see it. But if I did go back to Branson, one of the main reasons I would go back to Branson is for this amazing cobbler that I had at the farmhouse. That's how good it was. It was blackberry cobbler. I don't know how they made it. But not only did it have the great crumble that every good cobbler has to have, but it had, like, as I said, it's almost kind of like you just smush a pie and put the crumble on top of it and then put the ice cream on it. But there was something in their dough of that cobbler, something in the crust of that cobbler. I don't know what the taste was, but I took the first bite of it and I was in heaven. I have to tell you. And they even say it's their signature dish. And there's even a little thing on the bottom that says people drive for miles just for our cobbler. I believe it. I might fly back for that cobbler. So if you're ever in Branson, if whatever I've done here in this podcast today, if I've piqued your interest and maybe put just a seed of interest of Branson in your head, I would suggest you go to the Lawrence Welk Resort. It's a beautiful resort, beautiful cabin kind of look to it. It's 5 minutes from the Strip, but not on the Strip. So you're a little away from all the you know, the traffic and everything. So it's perfect in that respect. And at the same time, there's its own kitschy appeal. It's Lawrence Welk, right? Everywhere you go, it says, it even says, welcome, W-E-L-K-O-M-E. How do you not love that? Welcome. How do you not love that? When I saw that, I knew I made the right decision to come there. Welcome. That's what I'm talking about. Perfect kitsch. Lawrence, you knew what you were doing, man. You may have looked like a square, but I think you were the coolest guy around. So if I've piqued your interest at all, go to the Welk Resort to stay. Spend a day or two walking around Branson, but definitely go downtown. And one day go to the farmhouse, and the next day go across the street, right on the downtown strip, and go to the Branson Cafe for this amazing cinnamon roll. And then stop into Dick's Five and Dime. Now you say, Jim, why would you go to Dick's Five and Dime? Well, I wanted to see a performer there, right? You go to Branson, you want to see a performer. that fits the mold and fits that kitschy vibe of Branson, right? You don't want to see Bruce Springsteen or Elton John in Branson. You won't see them there. But that's not why you go there. You want to see those guys that have been around that you always liked, and they certainly can't fill big auditoriums or big stadiums or big theaters anymore, but they still have a name, and you remember them, and they still have, if they're singers, for instance, one or two great songs that you remember, and that's why you go to see them. And so when I looked around at the Branson attractions, I was so pleased to see that one of the guys who have been there for 35 years, in fact, was also one of my one-hit wonder favorites. If anybody remembers from the mid-70s, there was a singer / comedian, entertainer, named Jim Stafford. You remember him? You remember this song? I got silly and found the frog in the water by a hollow log, and I shook it at her, and I said, "This frog's for you." She said, remember Spiders and Snakes by Jim Stafford? Yeah. That was a number three song in 1974. He also had a follow-up hit. Remember this one?
Why don't we just step inside and I'll fix us both a drink. My girl Bill. My girl Bill.
My Girl Bill, Jim Stafford. On the strength of those two songs alone, he also had a song called Swamp Witch and Wildwood Weed, which were minor hits, but Spiders and Snakes was the big one, and My Girl Bill was maybe a top 20 song, a nice little follow. But Spiders and Snakes was the big hit, was number three in 1974. As he joked in his show, it never got to the number one spot because of two powerhouse songs that were released at the same time. Barbara Streisand's "The Way We Were," and one that he actually made fun of, which was a huge one hit wonder hit of the 70s. Terry Jacks' "Seasons in the Sun." So those two songs were at one and two, and Spiders and Snakes could never get to the number one spot. But still, it certainly brought Jim Stafford a lot of notoriety, and to the point where he had his own variety show for one summer, I believe in 75 or 76. He was a favorite because he had a really funny sense of humor, and he wrote these kind of novelty, clever, smart novelty songs. Was always a favorite on the talk shows, whether it was on Johnny Carson many times, during the day on Mike Douglas and Dinah Shore. And he was always popular on the award shows because he was funny. He always made a beautiful dollar in this business. In fact, he also wrote a couple of songs for a Disney film called The Fox and the Hound. So he's one of these guys that was around, who had a hit, and had a charm to him. He had a charisma. And he's been in Branson for the last 35 years in his own theater. Little side note, interestingly enough, if you know the song Ode to Bobby Joe by Billy Joe by Bobby Gentry, he was married to Bobby Gentry for a while, Jim Stafford. Interestingly, I you know, who knew that? But so I'm like, oh my God, Jim Stafford is in Branson. He has his own theater, and Lawrence Welk has his own resort. On the strength of Lawrence Welk's resort and Jim Stafford at the Jim Stafford Theater, that was enough for me. I had to experience the kitsch of Branson and stay at the Welk Resort and go see Jim Stafford. And I have to say that neither one disappointed me, and the city and the town did not disappoint me as well. Granted, I was only there for a day, and maybe that was enough, but I got the Branson experience, and I had a great time. And Jim Stafford was everything I wanted him to be. He's 75 years old now, and he still looks great. He's a hell of a guitar player. He's a great guitar player if he was 30, and he's 75, and his fingers are still flying around on the guitar. And he still has that kind of easy manner and kind of ironic, somewhat cornball humor. And he's got these hits. That's just enough. Went to the Jim Stafford Theater. It probably holds about 400. There was probably maybe 150, 200 people there. Once again, and everybody was, you know, it was hot when we went. It was 90 degrees. There's people wearing shorts, and they're older people, but he put on a 2-hour show, and it was entertaining from top to bottom. And even at the intermission, he went and he has a little booth at the theater where he sells his Jim Stafford merchandise, CDs, hats, and things like that. And incredibly, he just stood there and greeted everybody in line at the merchandise thing and talked to him for a couple of minutes and was just the nicest guy. So while my wife and I were driving, we landed in Springfield, Missouri, and you drive about an hour south to Branson from the airport. My wife, incredibly, what a great idea, and I kicked myself for not thinking of it myself, and I was also impressed at how she thought of it. She said, "It's too bad you didn't buy a rubber spider and a rubber snake to give to him." Oh, I'm like, oh my gosh. How could I not have thought of that? How great would that be during the middle of spiders and snakes? Because we were sitting in toward the front in the second or third row. I'm like, oh my gosh. How great would it have been if I could have gone to some novelty store here. We had this trip planned for a while. I could have bought a rubber spider and a rubber snake and thrown it up to him during the show. He would have held it up. How funny would that have been? And I was kicking myself because that's the perfect kitsch. Talk about the perfect, you know, cherry on the sundae is to have the spider and the snake for Jim Stafford when he sings Spiders and Snakes in Branson. Oh, a perfect storm. And I blew it. Or did I? I was knocking myself when we landed and we were driving and we were there. And I said, oh man, it would have been so cool to have a spider and a snake. I'm so mad I didn't think of that. Why didn't you think of that earlier? I was saying to her. But the gods of kitsch were with me. Because as I said, when we went to downtown Branson and we walked around, and this is middle America. This is south of the Mason-Dixon line here, folks. There's conceal, and I don't even think there's conceal. I think there's just carry. There's a lot of flags. There's a lot of patriotism. This is middle America. This is little pink houses for you and me. And sure enough, on the strip, who would have thought? I heard this choir of angels all of a sudden gloriously going, ah, as we drove down the main strip of the downtown area. It's only two or three blocks big. Unbelievably, but shining like a beacon, was an old-fashioned five and dime store, which was filled with every silly thing you could think of, you know, cookie jars and costumes and you name it. It was an old-fashioned five and dime where you can just get everything. It was just packed with everything, just from the absurd to something that you would maybe need, to food, to old-fashioned candies, you know, just you name it, you know, old games, old games from the past, new games, pinatas, whatever, just a hodgepodge of stuff. And I said, my gosh, This is the perfect kind of play, almost like a glorified costume store, but had just so much more. And I said, if any place has a rubber snake and a rubber spider, it's got to be this place. And we walk in there. There's a ton of people just walking around and browsing and having fun, looking at all these odd things. And sure enough, we get to this one aisle because it's almost Halloween time, right? And they had all this Halloween stuff that you could buy. And sure enough, there they were, a beautiful supply of rubber spiders and rubber snakes. So for the $5 investment, $2 a piece, how do I not do it, right? So I bought a spider and I bought a snake. And I brought it to the Jim Stafford show at the Jim Stafford Theater on the Strip of Branson. And so now we're sitting in the third row, and I'm saying to myself, there's no question that I could toss this up there, and you know, it'll get up on the stage. He'll see it, maybe he won't, and at the same time, he'll see something flying at him. Who knows what he'll do? But when he said, I'll be at the merchandise stand at the intermission, and of course, he's going to do spiders and snakes at the end of the show because that's the big hit. So he hadn't done it yet. I'm like, perfect. So we went in line, and we chatted with him for about 5 minutes. He was so nice. And I told him, I said, well, there's only one thing I could give you. And he got such a kick out of it. And he said he was going to bring him up on stage, but I think he forgot. Because in all fairness, I think as good as he was, and it was, I mean, in terms of his performance, it was great. But you could see that there may have been a little memory loss going on. Not major, but a few times during the show, he was a little confused and repeated things. And I'm glad I saw him when I did. He looked great. The performance was good. But you could see there was a little few moments of a little uncertainty. He still was a very professional show, and he played great and sang great. But if you remember, Glenn Campbell had Alzheimer's disease, and he performed up until the last couple of years before his death, and it was amazing if you ever saw it. I didn't see him in person, but I've seen some of him perform on television, and there was a documentary, and it was amazing to see how the brain works. Because while he did have some memory issues of, at times, what song he was singing and what he was saying and the lyrics, the muscle memory of his fingers. And Glenn Campbell was one of the great musicians and one of the most in-demand session people in the 60s before he became a big star. And even though he had Alzheimer's and it was very clear, and people on stage would have to prompt him and remind him, and he would repeat verses and sometimes he would repeat stories and things, but his guitar playing was flawless. And it was the same with Jim Stafford. His guitar playing was amazing. The muscle memory was still there. But you could see when he was, and even the lyrics, he was there for the lyrics. But when he was telling some stories or when he was wondering what was next, he did need some prompting. It wasn't sad. It wasn't to that degree, but I'm glad I saw him now because I don't know. You never know how fast that stuff works. But he was so nice. And he got a kick that we came from Chicago. And I even made a joke about something, and he laughed, and he said, I'm going to have to write that down. And I said, well, now my trip is complete because I made Jim Stafford laugh to the point where he wants to write my joke down. And I gave him the spiders and snakes, and unfortunately he forgot to bring them up, which was too bad because it would have been a funny sight gag. But so I couldn't have had a better time. I mean, we saw Jim Stafford. We got a chance to talk with him. I gave him his spiders and snakes. I had some amazing chicken fried steak just, you know, swimming in thick gravy with biscuits. I had some cobbler. I stayed at the Lawrence Welk Resort. I saw the Dick Clark, you know, as I said before, and Google Dick Clark, I guess. But you saw, you know, the Yakov Smirnoff, who was a big Russian comedian in the 80s. In my country, you don't go to party. Party comes to you. And he's still there performing because now I guess with all our, U.S. and Russia, you know, controversies. His shtick is back. He's got three shows. He does a show at 10 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, and 7. Those tour buses come in from wherever, and Yakov is there, ready to perform 3 shows a day. That's what you love about Branson. Oh, at the Lawrence Welk Resort, my goodness, they have a huge theater of their own. They've got a huge water park. They've got a huge pool. They've got miniature golf. I'm telling you. If you want to go someplace that's a little off the beaten path, and you're not going to spend a lot of money, and no, you're not going to have, it's not going to be elegance. But the room was very nice. But the whole experience, yeah, you know what? It's just kind of, it's small town America. And interesting little fun fact, which I did not know until I got there. We're driving down the strip of Branson, and we see this huge Ferris wheel, which makes perfect sense, right? For Branson, there's a huge half recreation across the street from the Mount Rushmore, I believe, or close to it. There's a recreated half Titanic, for whatever reason. And just down the street from the Titanic is this huge Ferris wheel. Impressive. At night, it was gorgeous, all lit up. And it's exactly what you'd expect to see on the strip. Hey, England has its own Ferris wheel, right? London has its own Ferris wheel. And now Vegas does too. Why not Branson? Well, I go to Dick's Five and Dime, and they give you their bag, which I put my spiders and snakes in. And I read the story that Dick, who's the family of Dick's Five and Dime, was actually from Chicago originally and moved to Branson. And I don't know if he was instrumental or not, but why was that Ferris wheel so impressive to me? Because that Ferris wheel was the Ferris wheel that had been at Navy Pier here in Chicago for many years until it was replaced with a bigger, more elaborate one just 2 or 3 years ago. That was the Chicago Navy Pier Ferris wheel, which was deconstructed and shipped to Branson, and now it sits proudly in the middle of the strip at Branson. So there's even a little piece of Chicago if you go to Branson, folks, if you're from Chicago, where I am from. So I have to tell you, what was kind of a whim, and wouldn't it be cool or silly to go to Branson? Suddenly, all the stars aligned. We went there, literally there for a day. Got there at noon, left at 9 in the morning to go back to the airport. We were home by 2 or 3 in the afternoon. Just spent a day there. But I have to tell you, it was cool to stay at the Lawrence Welk Hotel. It was cool to see the strip at Branson and all the kitschy kind of things there. It was amazing to have the best blackberry cobbler I've ever had. It was very cool to see Jim Stafford sing Spiders and Snakes and My Girl Bill and give him a spider and a snake. And I have to say, the drive from the airport to Branson was beautiful. The Ozark Mountains were gorgeous. So yes, I've been to some of the more extravagant, elegant wonders of this world. But I have to tell you, I had a good time in Branson, y'all. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, posted every Monday at WGNplus.com or whatever platform you find your favorite podcast on a weekly basis. But every Monday, a new one is there for your enjoyment. So thank you for downloading and scrolling and clicking or whatever it is you do to find us. And of course, whatever platform you're on, please subscribe to that. Rate this podcast. And don't forget to tell your friends about Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. I'm Jim Toronto. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. From the end of the web to your screen. Y'all come back now. Yeah?